We know that God hears our prayers and he answers them. He hears our prayers and he answers them. In verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know that God hears our prayers. Not only do we have the assurance that God hears our prayers, but we know that he answers them as well. Verse 15, and we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. The most important thing you need to know when you pray is God's will.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark continued his series in 1 John in his sermon titled, What Do You Know? And now, Brother Mark.
We're going to be back in 1 John, finishing up that epistle. Chapter 5. I've entitled this message, What Do You Know? What do you know? 1 John chapter 5. Would you stand with me as we read the beginning of that chapter? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begat loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, and we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear record or testimony in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are all one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three all agree in one. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For it is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God hath made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus, your only begotten Son, who you gave so freely to come and live among us as Emmanuel, God with us, and then to die for all the sins of the whole world. And then, Lord, you raised him from the dead, and you seated him at your right hand, that he might make intercession for all the saints, that he might be the lamb that you sent to die for the sins of the world. And, Lord, you gave him honor and glory and preeminence and all power. And Lord, even though he came and was crucified and you raised him from the dead, he is returning. And Lord, we set our hope, we set our eyes on the glory of Jesus' great return. As he comes back, Lord, as that trumpet sounds and the archangel shouts, that all of us will be caught up in the air and be with you forever. Lord, we thank you for your word, the truth of your word, and Lord, how we see it continually playing out according to your prophecy. And Lord, nothing changes, nothing works against your will in such a way that it changes what will happen. We know that the truth is found in your word, and it will play out to the very end. Lord, I thank you for this text that we just read out of your word that gives us a no-so hope that you embedded in our hearts, that we can know that we know that we have eternal life. And with that no-so hope, Lord, we are able to go forward and share the gospel message with those who are living in darkness. Lord, bless your word to our hearts this morning. Hide me behind the cross. May your Holy Spirit move in this place and across the airways in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. What do you know? Well, first of all, that you're a child of God. You can know that if you love God, if you love God's Son, you love God's children, and you love God's Word. Well, the only way that you could love all of them things is you have the love of God in you. And the love of God in you begins when you say to God, God, I believe that Jesus is your only begotten Son and that you sent Him to die for me. And I have sin in my heart, and I want you to forgive me of that sin, and I want you to come into my heart and be my Lord. And when you pray that prayer, when you ask God to come in and live within you and be your Lord because you believe in Jesus, His only Son, He does that very thing. And He saves you, and He makes you one of His children, and you have eternal life, and nothing can take that away from you. Nothing. So we can know, we can have eternal security this morning, amen? We can know that we're going to heaven and we're going to be with God forever. Isn't that a glorious thing to know? So what do you know? You know that you're a child of God. The scripture we read, here's the basis of our salvation, the gospel explained in basic, simple truth. Anyone who believes that Jesus is God's Son, who loves God, who sent Jesus from heaven, who loves Jesus and loves God's children, is a believer. And they love all of these things because Jesus lives in their heart. How do we know that we love God? Because we love one another. With the love that God gives us. And He tells us that in His Word. John 5:12 says, but as many as received Him, to Him He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they are born of God. You see, our name here on earth does nothing to save us. Our bloodline here on earth does nothing to save us. It don't matter if your grandmother was the greatest saint that ever lived. It don't matter if your dad was a preacher or a deacon. Whatever name you got on this earth, don't matter. You're not going to be saved by that name. Because when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, you get a new name. And it's a name that don't come from that bloodline in which you were born of the flesh. It comes from God. Amen? And if we love God and we love the Word, we have the power to overcome the world. We overcome the world by becoming citizens of heaven. And the moment we have faith in God and faith in the Word and faith in Jesus Christ, we become overcomers. We might not be in this world, but we're definitely not living according to... We might be this world, but we're definitely not living according to this world's order or system of morality. Overcoming the world is accomplished by living according to the Word in the will of God. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Jesus is born of God, of God's blood. And Jesus is born of the Holy Spirit. And all three bear witness, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all bear witness that Jesus is the Messiah. John the Baptist gave this witness in John 1:29-34. It says, the next day Jesus came towards me and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, this is He of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I did not know him, but he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending like a dove out of heaven, and it remained on him. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I said, I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. So you hear the witness of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, who says, this is the Messiah, because the Holy Spirit descended out of heaven and rested on him. And John seen that Holy Spirit and knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and that is his testimony. In Matthew 3:16, when Jesus was baptized by John, we hear the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We see the dove descending out of heaven to rest upon Jesus Christ, and we see Jesus Christ there as John baptizes him. All at once, in the Bible, at that very moment, we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three at the same time. The triune power of God the Father. Our text said that there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all three are one. Our testimony, our redemption, our salvation is found in Jesus Christ, and in Him alone does our faith rest. And the testimony of our baptism and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit confirms our adoption into the family of God. Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we're heirs, joint heirs with God and with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him together. Our text goes on to say that this faith, this testimony in Jesus is where our salvation and our eternal life rest. By the same testimony, the rejection of Jesus Christ is where the eternal death of the unbeliever rests. They will be cast into outer darkness, into eternal lake of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the worm never dies. Your eternity and your destination for eternity is based on what you do with Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:13 through 21, we'll finish out that text of chapter 5. It says in 13, these things I have written to you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us. We know. You can underline all the no's in John chapter 5. There's seven of them if you want to count them up. Seven things that we know that God does for us when we become His children. And we know that He hears us. And we know that we have the requests, the petitions that we have asked of Him. So not only does God hear our prayer, but God answers our prayers according to His will. 16, if any man sees his brother in a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not. We know. There's another no. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. 19 is another no, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. 20, another no, or two more. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know Him who is true. We are in Him who is true, even His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. The second thing that we know is that we have eternal life. These things John wrote so that you can know that you have eternal life. So what are the things that John wrote? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if we go back in the text that we've been through in 1 John, there are several things that John wrote about so that we could know that we have eternal life. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God has eternal life. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh has eternal life. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is the testimony of God the Father, Jesus is the Word and the Holy Spirit, and they all bear witness that Jesus is the Christ. Thirdly, we know that God hears our prayers and He answers them. He hears our prayers and He answers them. In verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and we know that God hears our prayers. Not only do we have the assurance that God hears our prayers, but we know that He answers them as well. Verse 15, and we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. The most important thing you need to know when you pray is God's will. The most important thing you need to know when you pray is God's will. The most important thing you need to know about God's will is God's Word. The most important thing about God's Word is to know what it says. The most important thing to know about what God's Word says is read it. Amen. We got to read God's Word if we're going to know what God's Word says. And we need to know what God's Word says so that we know how to pray in God's will. You got it? It's not complicated. It's kind of simple. But we tend to neglect the Word of God whenever we are living our life and needing God to answer some prayers in our life that are according to His will. And sometimes God is just waiting for us to go to His Word so He can give us the answer that He's wanting us to have. And when He shows it to us in His Word, we have that aha moment. Fourth, we know that our future is secure. I'm so glad this morning that you can know that your future is secure in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:18, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God, God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Whoa, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good thought to think about, right? That when you become a believer, God puts a fence around you. He puts a hedge about you. He puts up a barrier so the evil one cannot touch you. That does not mean that believers are free from sin, for we all have the free will to go into sin if we want to. And we do occasionally, right? We do every day. We do something that is against what God called us to do. And we pray and we ask forgiveness, and God forgives us of our sin. And then it talked about that sin, the one that's a sin unto death. There's only one sin in the Bible that's a sin unto death, and that's the sin of rejection of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To say, no, you're not the Messiah. To say, no, you're not the Son of God. To say, no, I don't want you in my life. To say no to Jesus Christ is to choose eternal death forever. And that's the only sin unto death. And it says we should not pray about that, because if people die and they don't know Jesus Christ, you can't pray them into heaven. There's no way for them to get to heaven if they didn't accept Jesus Christ on this side of death's door. You have to choose Jesus Christ. You have to make Him Lord of your life while you are living. And then you have eternal life. Know this, believer, child of God, Satan cannot touch you. You are protected by the all-powerful one. And if God's protecting you, nothing can get to you, right? You are protected. Your eternal security is in God's hands. And I'm so glad this morning that it's not up to me to stay in God's hands, that God has me in a firm grip and He don't let go. John 10:28 and 30 says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one, from the words of Jesus Christ, them red letters in our Word of God that tells us Jesus Christ said it, and so it is. Amen? Fifth, we are protected from the world. I know that we are protected from the world. We know because we are children of God and we are gathered together with Christ Jesus in His righteousness, yet the world is wicked. John, 1 John 4:4, you are God's children and you have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Because we belong to God, He's put that fence around us, that barrier, and He protects us from the evil and the wickedness of this world. Sixth, we know that Jesus is God's Son, and we know that He gives us great wisdom. Verse 20, we know that the Son of God has come, and He has given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Number seven. Finally, we must know that we must guard against idolatry. That verse kind of come out of nowhere at the end of that chapter, right? So we're going along about all the things that we know that God has given us. And then John blindsides us with what we should know to do. We know that we have to guard against idolatry. I know they was talking about that in Sunday school class this morning. You just got blindsided by that statement. All kind of like an afterthought. John, who was building us up with all the no-sos from God, gives us an important item that we need to do. Something that we need, some housekeeping that we need to take care of, right? We need to take care of the things that want to pull us away from God. Idols come into your life as a believer and they will pull you away from completely following God with your whole heart. Just think of the idols in our world. I know it was mentioned in a few in Sunday school class, but I got a little laundry list myself. How about money and popularity? How about talents and abilities? You know, you're good at sports, and maybe that talent that God gave you to be good at sports has controlled your whole life. Everything about you is that sport. Or maybe it's some art. You're a great artist, and you can draw pictures, you can paint paintings, you can do all kinds of great art, and that art has controlled everything you do in your life. How about sex? Well, can't mention that word in the church, hey? But how about sex and how that controls people's lives? How about self-indulgence? Just doing everything that you want to do. It's all about me. How about gambling? And how about drugs? How about all the things that this world has to offer in place of God? When God could be your all in all. If you're just sold out to Him, God knows that He wants us to know about idols because they will distance our relationship with Him. In conclusion, what do I know? First of all, I know that I'm a child of God because I love God, I love God's Son, I love God's children, and I love God's Word. Secondly, I know that I have eternal life. Thirdly, I know that God hears my prayers and He answers them. Fourthly, I know my future is secure. Fifthly, I know I'm protected from the evilness of this world. Sixth, I know that God gives me great wisdom. And seventh, I know that I must stay away from idols. Would you stand and pray with me? Lord, I thank You for giving us the assurance. The assurance of salvation. The assurance of Your protection. The assurance of Your power. The assurance to know that we are Your children so that we may go forth and do Your mighty work. Lord, doubt will send us running. Fear will make us hide. But Lord, Your peace, Your assurance, will move us forward in the fight. Lord, we know this world is full of evil and full of wickedness in the highest of all places. But Lord, we know also that you're more powerful than any evil, than any wickedness that's in our world. So Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would motivate us to clean up our lives and stay away from idols. Lord, that you would motivate us to step out on the front lines of life, to share your glorious message with a lost and dying world. Lord, to be the light, to be the salt in this world that you've called us to be, that we might bring forth your glorious gospel to those who need it most. Lord, help us to stand on the road to the dead end and wave our arms in love, with a tear in our eye, and point people back the right direction. Lord, the road to you is narrow. The gate is narrow. The road is narrow. And there are very few that choose it. But Lord, help us to find those few. Lord, we need you every day in our life. And Lord, we need your Spirit to guide us to be completely sold out to you, to cleanse our heart of anything that might pull us away from you, that we might be the people that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray all these things. Amen.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.